Foundations Lesson Number 5, The Baptism in the Holy Spirit, Part 5. Going on to Roman numeral number 5 on our outline, I'd like to give some practical guidance to those who want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you want to be clothed with power from on high, if you want God by His Holy Spirit to fill you, if you desire to make an impact in this world that helps people live lives to please the Almighty, then I want to encourage you. Those are good and noble desires to have. I believe God is pleased with your having them. He stands ready to empower you and every other son or daughter of His who truly wants Him in their lives. He delights in giving good gifts to His children. You can receive because He's powerful and wonderfully generous. First and most important, you must have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. If you're not sure if you've done that, please go to lesson number 3 on salvation. There you'll find a thorough explanation of what it means to become a member of God's family. Since salvation is also described as being born again, and since the birth experience is the beginning of life, not a destination, I want to encourage you to continue growing in God, being hungry for more of the Lord. Continue to have your number one priority, your main goal in life, to please the Almighty, to make Him happy with every decision you make, every thought you think, and with every attitude that resides in your heart. As you desire God more and more, He'll gladly pour more of Himself into you. This is also a good time for us to check our motives. Do we want more of God so that we can be more successful in business, more popular, more comfortable, more respected? Or do we want more of God in order to please Him, in order to advance His kingdom, in order to bring glory and honor to His name? As the book of James tells us, having pure motives instead of selfish ones helps us receive the requests we make of the Lord. I'd also like to encourage you to renounce any past involvement you may have had in the occult or the demonic. All supernatural activity is either of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. There are no other alternatives. So any activity that's supernatural but isn't clearly connected to Jesus Christ is of the kingdom of darkness. That includes seances, fortune telling, mind reading, astrology, playing with Ouija boards, witchcraft, seeking guidance from horoscopes, psychics, or mediums, and playing with tarot cards, to name just a few. Anyone who's engaged in that kind of activity in the past should tell God they're sorry and renounce their involvement in those things, never doing them again. I'd also like you to realize that the Holy Spirit won't force you to speak in tongues. He, the Spirit of God, desires your submission and cooperation. I mention this because some have waited to be overpowered as with a bolt of lightning. God very rarely uses that approach. Also, I'd like to encourage you not to be speaking in English, or whatever your main language is, right after you've asked God to fill you with His Spirit. You can't speak in English and in tongues at the same time. Psalm 81 verse 10 says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." Speaking in tongues, like everything else in the kingdom of God, is a matter of faith. Our part is to have the inner conviction, the firm belief, that God will fill our mouth with the words that only He can provide. So, believing, we open our mouth to speak. God does the rest. But when we open our mouth, we can't be speaking a known language because it's not possible for us to be speaking two different languages simultaneously. Please also realize that strong emotions may or may not be involved. I encourage you to leave that up to God. Some people have a great display of emotion when they get filled with the Spirit. Others have very little. In the kingdom of God, we live by faith, not by feelings. I'd also like to encourage you that perseverance may be necessary. In an ideal world, all of us would receive the blessings of God immediately when we ask. Since we live in a fallen world that's tainted by sin, it doesn't always happen that way. Jesus specifically taught us that we shouldn't give up when we pray, Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus wouldn't have taught us to be persistent in prayer if it weren't necessary. Some people might wonder, well, why is persistence required? That's a good question, and there may be a great variety of possible reasons, but in Christ, it's better to focus on the solution than the problem. The solution in this case is simple. keep on seeking, keep on trusting, and keep on asking until the answer comes. A woman named Faye had a great desire to be baptized in the Spirit, being prayed for many times for about 2 months. Finally, at noon one day in her home, she got down on her knees, determined not to get up until she received. At 2:55 p.m., God filled her. Her great persistence had paid off. Not long after that, her husband was prayed for and received immediately. Why did she have to struggle and agonize, but for him the blessing came effortlessly? I don't know, but I do know that her perseverance was rewarded. I'd also like to mention that there could be benefit for you to request one or more mature believers to lay their hands on you to facilitate receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it's not required. In the five passages of Scripture we examine in part two of this lesson, three incidents involved the laying on of hands and two did not. God is not a one-size-fits-all God. Everything he does is custom-made. You can and will be clothed with power from on high as you ask and believe, but I encourage you to leave the details with the Lord. He'll do it just the way that it's best for you. So I encourage you to ask God and to believe. You can and will be filled with the Spirit because God is faithful and his promises are 100% reliable. Relax and be confident. It'll happen. Trust the Lord. He's trustworthy. At the bottom of page 2 on our outline, I've included a sample prayer you can use to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Feel free to use it or instead to use your own words, whatever works best for you. Before ending this lesson, I'd like to read three passages of Scripture to encourage you. Mark 16:17, Jesus is speaking. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name will they drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Acts 2:38-39, Peter's preaching, he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Luke 11:9-13, Jesus is speaking, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. God bless you all.